came into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Advent calendars were not a part of my experience of Christmas growing up in the middle of the 20th century, but I have come to appreciate them. And this year my eyes fell on a so-called chocolate Advent calendar displayed prominently in a food store. It was produced by a chocolate manufacturer, and behind each window of the colorful village scene was a chocolate reward for each of the days of Advent once the countdown to Christmas had started. Needless to say, I did not miss a day. But last week, when I looked at the remaining windows, I was dismayed that they ended on the 24th. There was no window for Christmas Day. No image of the manger or the Christ child or Mary and Joseph or the shepherds or the angels. Perhaps such an image would have seemed too narrowly religious for those who want to play down the Christian identity of Christmas. But such a calendar is rather like a treasure hunt with no treasure at the end. When the last window is opened, it's all over. But of course, the treasure is the mystery of the Word made flesh, Jesus, whose birth is remembered on Christmas Day and celebrated not just on Christmas Day, but throughout the Christmas season, the 12 days that culminate in the Feast of the Epiphany, with its rich associations of the kings, the magi, the mighty, and the wise of the world, kneeling down in adoration of the Christ child, to whom they offer their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These past several years, I have been in Mexico for Christmas, where I serve as priest in charge of Holy Trinity Church in Oaxaca, partner parish to this wonderful church, the Transfiguration in New York City. In Oaxaca, you can't forget the movement from Advent to Christmas, or the explosion, almost visibly explosion of joy and noise surrounding the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem, which is certainly a most unseemly place, considering the grandiosity of the forecast, how the Messiah should be born. Advent in Oaxaca is a time of candlelit processions called posadas, beginning on December 16th, when parish churches invite their congregations to follow the Holy Family, usually represented by a young couple from the neighborhood, as they sing the posada carol and stop at several locations to ask for a room. Usually, but not always, the stops are prearranged. The Holy Family and their followers are told that there is no room available, we're sorry, but everyone in the procession is invited to share in some refreshment that just happens to be on hand. God is good. And the procession halts for a few minutes before continuing to make another stop or two. The posada ends up returning to the church for a party or going to a private event planned for the occasion, and the search for a place to stay in Bethlehem continues in word and song until Christmas Eve. I'm sure that Ignacio, whom you all know, who is here in the congregation this morning, could add a lot more detail and a good many personal memories of posadas that he has experienced. And who knows, some of you here, I'm sure some of you here this morning have taken part in something similar in this country or in Mexico or Latin America, have memories of similar Advent devotions preparing for Christmas. And if you haven't, well, let me extend to you all an invitation to go to Oaxaca next Christmas. Not that I want to take you away from this wonderful church, but it is possible to maybe give up Christmas years to go to Mexico 1 year to Oaxaca and catch the spirit at Holy Trinity Church. But on Christmas Eve in Mexico, don't expect a silent night. There are firecrackers that rattle the windows, and brass bands in the streets that can, I have to admit it, sometimes put your teeth on edge. And crowds of people carrying their own devotional representations of the Christ child to be blessed at church and brought home to be laid in a household nacimiento, a manger scene, and a prominent place where the family gathers. And so it continues until January 6th, Epiphany, when the park fill up with children posing with the three kings in a great variety of costumes, and standing alongside or astride four-legged beasts, sometimes cardboard, sometimes the real thing, usually a donkey, occasionally even a camel. It is in this context that gifts are given and families on earth come to mirror the Holy Family in their love of God and each other, and in their willingness to follow a star and to take risks for love's sake. I awake most mornings to a clock radio beside my bed, and a few weeks ago I thought I was dreaming when I heard on the NPR morning show a discussion of the Advent season, a discussion that included an interview with an Episcopal priest and a former college chaplain, who spoke about the importance of the Advent season and who on his campus actually added a couple of weeks to that season to help his students to quiet down, to ground and center their lives amidst the turmoil of the world, to enter into God's dream for a future when peace and justice prevail, to light candles rather than curse the darkness, and to take to heart the prophetic vision of waging peace and beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, when the knowledge and love of God will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. How very good it was to hear this conversation on the radio, and to be reminded that amidst the diversity of the human race, we are alike being made in God's image. We are alike in needing to dream and to feed and to nourish our inner life on God's dream of peace, justice, and reconciliation, nourishing our inner lives that are God's life in us. As people of faith this morning, we are able to say that our yearning is met with God's response in sending his Son Jesus, the second Adam, perfectly faithful from his birth to his resurrection, whose birth we celebrate this day, who was born that we might live with him and in him as brothers and sisters, as children of God and heirs of eternal life. Jesus, the Word made flesh, God incarnate, whose arms were outstretched to us all from cradle to cross, whose wounds were measure of his love, and whose life poured out for the human race could not be destroyed, who is able to bring good out of evil and life out of death. Jesus, the light of the world. The great Rabbi Abraham Heschel, who came to the United States in Europe on the eve of World War II, wrote the following words which resonated with us this Christmas Day. In the year of our Lord, 2023, this is an age of spiritual blackout. We must seek our way of preserving the strong and deep truth of a living God in the midst of blackout. For the darkness is neither final nor complete. We are called to bring together the spark, to preserve single moments of radiance and keep them alive in our lives, to defy absurdity and despair, and to wait for God to say again, "Let there be light," and there will be light. There will be light. And there is light that we celebrate this Christmas Day. What has come into being in Jesus is light, and the light is the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Thanks be